with an encouraging word that just might surprise you. Here's Pastor Jeff Johnson.
God's not called us to be successful. God's called each and every one of us to be faithful, and may God help us. He has been faithful to us. He gave His Son for us. He loves us, and He's calling us constantly. Come on, get out of the rut you're in. Come on, start really getting serious with me. You can do it. And He's encouraging us.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after You. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
It's been said, in whatever a man does without God, he must fail miserably or succeed even more miserably. And yet too often the follower of God takes his cues from the world and not the Lord. And that's a new problem, as we'll hear on today's Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson. We've come to the end of our study in 2 Chronicles, here with our final lesson from chapter 36. Picking up in verse 15, our teacher and pastor, once again, here's Pastor Jeff.
Notice, the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by His messengers, rising up in early times and sending, because He had compassion on His people and on the dwelling place. I mean, God didn't want it to end. God doesn't want our relationship with Him to end. And many times He sends a messenger to speak to you. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's your wife. I don't know. But He'll send someone to you, and He'll let you know that you're in a dangerous place and you need to turn about face, because you're pushing the envelope and you're on the edge. And any moment, you could be taken out. So God goes way back to their fathers. See, all the way through 2 Chronicles and 1 Chronicles, the kings, there were good kings and there were bad kings. But there were more bad kings. This is what ruined everything. God gave them the example of the Assyrians moving into the north area of the country where all the 10 tribes were. They're gone. They've taken them away. And then God says, okay, you got 100 years to get it right. That was an example. Do you want that to happen to you? Oh, no. It's going to happen if you don't lighten up. And they wouldn't lighten up. But, verse 16, they mocked the messengers of God. They made fun of it. They lightly, you know, just touched it and just mocked and cursed and despised His words and misused His prophets. They made fun of them, beat them up, threw stones at them, until the wrath of the Lord arose against His people. His people. If My people will turn from their wicked ways and turn to Me, you won't get all this confusion and this craziness in your life. Just turn to Me. Be a real Christian for once. Not just a Sunday go to meeting. Not just, I go Wednesday nights, every Wednesday night. God bless you. I hope He does when you come. But if it's not a walk that's real, then it's for naught. So, until the wrath of the Lord arose against the people, till, and here's the sad thing, there was no remedy. No remedy? Doctor, what are you talking about? Why, we can't help you. What do you mean you can't help us? Well, you're stage 4. What? We don't have anything. You have no remedy. You are going to die, and it's going to be soon. That's no remedy. That's serious stuff. It's sad, but it's a sober thing, isn't it? Wouldn't you say? No remedy? No way out? Well, you've sown all these years. Now you got to reap what you've sown. It's interesting, as we look at that this is the end, Jeremiah's ministry, he was the prophet at the time. He was a prophet for 40 years, sharing the good news of God to the people. 40 years. Guess what? In those 40 years, he didn't have one convert. Nobody listened. Can you imagine the frustration in that? He really had to trust the Lord and say, Lord, I'm just the messenger. I'm going to give them the message. And if they hear it, praise God. If they don't hear it, praise God. That's what he had to do to make it 40 years. And not one person got it right. That's serious days, wouldn't you say? Some would look at Jeremiah as he wasn't successful. Poor Jeremiah. He didn't have a very great ministry. He didn't even have one soul. He'd show up to do a Bible study and no one would show up. He really was not successful. Wait a minute. God's not called us to be successful. God's called each and every one of us to be faithful. And may God help us. He has been faithful to us. He gave his son for us. He loves us. And he's calling us constantly. Come on, get out of the rut you're in. Come on, start really getting serious with me. Come on, you can do it. And he's encouraging us. God help us. Verse 17, therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew, notice, here's the third deportation, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary. They go into the temple where the priests were there with the kids and stuff. They go, no, no, sanctuary, sanctuary, no, it's not. And they walked in there and just took their heads off. The little children, everybody. They had no compassion upon the young men, upon the maidens, the old men, and those that stooped for age. I mean, the real old people. They killed them all. And notice, he gave them all into his hand. He gave his children. God raised these people up. You say, why were they different than any other nation? They weren't. He had amazing grace on them, kept his hand on them, gave them promises, covenants, which they broke over and over and over again. And they turned their backs to him over and over again. And he had to just make this statement. He just let it go because it goes to the point where there's no remedy. Now you're gonna receive the wrath of the Lord. Pretty heavy. God is not willing what? That any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you don't come to repentance and you continue to live your life and you die without the Lord in your life, eternal judgment, the wrath of God is upon you. Now, I didn't say that. God said it. This is what God said. And this book, as far as I know, is batting 1,000. It's right on. Try to take it on as much as you can. Can't do it. It's the truth. But the truth will set us free. The truth will get our attention. Snap out of it. Pull up. As you're going down. So, verse 18, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, the treasures of the house of the Lord. Notice the word all there in verse 17, verse 18. I mean, God just did an all work on the place, on the situation, everything, all the vessels, small and great, treasures of the house of the Lord, treasures of the king and of his princes. All these he brought to Babylon. It was empty. Not only was it empty, look at verse 19. And they burnt the house of God. Burnt the house of God. That beautiful, awesome sanctuary, the temple of the Lord. Broke it down, broke down the walls in Jerusalem and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire. Incredible heat. Everything melting. Destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. Seemed there was no way out. There's no escape. Everyone is getting it. Hey, when God takes his hand off, wow, scary. It just comes down. And them that had escaped from the sword, they're thinking, wow, we made it out. Awesome, we got away. They were arrested immediately. They sent roving groups after all those that had ran away, tried to hide, and they found them all, carried them away to Babylon. And that wasn't a pretty place to go. Again, they didn't have any idea, but they were going to be slaves there for a long time. Where they were servants, slaves, to him and his sons until the reign, check it out, of the kingdom of Persia. So we heard about the Assyrians, an empire. We heard about the Babylonians, an incredible empire. But now here comes the kingdom of Persia, the Mede, the Persians under Cyrus. They're on the scene now. It's been that long. And after a while, you just figure this is our lives. We're all messed up. We don't have anything, nobody, nothing. And notice verse 21, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah. So Jeremiah said some pretty heavy things. Until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath. Interesting, the reasons for God's judgment. They rejected the prophets. They were doing their own thing. They were living on borrowed time. Actually, they had ran out of time. There was no more time without remedy. I wonder how much time the United States of America has. Ever have thought of that? Do you believe that we are under the hand of judgment right now? And if you do, then you know it's going to get tougher and greater. For 490 years, Israel had no Sabbath. Leviticus 25 says, when you go into the land, you will till the land, and I will bless you. And for 6 years, you will work the land. But for the seventh year, you let it rest. You let it come back. There's something about that six and one that's very special to God. And he said, you let it rest. And because of their greed, because they said, hey, we can work 6 years, 6 years on the land, but hey, why not work the seventh too? And they did that for 490 years. Is that greed or what? God says, you owe me 70 years. That's when they were in the land. That's when everything was going good. That's when they thought they were really serving God. And they had money. They had all kinds of neat things because they worked overtime. They did their thing. So he says, you owe me. Notice what he goes on to say. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept the Sabbath to fulfill the 70 years. So God says, you owe me 70 years for the 490, 70 years of slavery, okay, and Babylon. So when Daniel found out by reading Jeremiah that Jeremiah said, this is what's going to happen, he figured it out that we only have 70 years here. So when it got down to the point of 70 years, that's when they started to get excited. They knew they were going to be delivered. The decree of Cyrus to build the temple, that is an incredible feat in itself. They worked the land. They owed God 70 years. They thought that they got away with being greedy and working the land. But God keeps good books. He always has kept good books. And it's like if you said, well, if you just work 7 days, just work 7 days and do it for a number of years, we're going to get out of debt and we're going to be awesome. Yeah, you're going to be divorced too. And your kids aren't going to know you. And a lot of weird stuff's going to happen. Why? Because God created the earth in what? 6 days. And what did he do on the seventh? Do you think we need rest? If he rested, I think so. We need rest. Don't get so greedy. And yet we go there. We do it. And the same thing with tithing, you know? Give your tithe to the Lord. Don't rob God of that which is his. Oh, well, I mean, he wants us to pay for the new car we just got, man. There's no way. We can't afford to. Where is God in your life? How obedient should we be? Should we be listening to him? Should we be taking heed to what he says? I think so. Because we've become the losers. So God, help us not to do our own thing. Because doing our own thing brings captivity. Doing our own thing brings bondage to that materialistic life that you want to live or whatever. It just brings chains. It'll choke you out. Over in Galatians chapter 6, in verse 7, he says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap." So if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap everlasting life. If you sow to the flesh and take care of just the material, you're going to reap corruption. And that's God's word. Now, it seems that God's clock only runs when Israel is in the land. Remember, there was five revivals that we studied in Chronicles. There was the renewals and the reformations that they went through. Each period, it was a return to obedience to God. And each time, it was the word of God that caused it to happen. Because God's word brings repentance. When God's word is studied and looked at and contemplated on and meditated on, it brings revival. It brings living water. It brings being like that tree planted by the water. Roots sunk deep, fruit in your life. Doing that which is bringing God glory. Every revival throughout all the history of the church or whatever happened has always been driven and done because they found the word or they rediscovered God's word in their lives. How about the prodigals who come home? They get back to their first works. They get back to their first love. That's what Jesus said. "I've got one thing against you. You've left." He didn't leave you. You left. So notice verse 22. "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished." See, God's word will be accomplished. Whatever God told Jeremiah to say is going to come to pass. That was the word of the Lord. "The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia." He just comes along. He becomes the emperor. And he's the kind of guy that's just going, "Well, you know, I like to help people out." And he's a good guy. And he starts doing, kind of being open. And the Lord begins to speak to him, whether it's in a dream or whatever, that he made a proclamation. This was made in October 539 B.C., and it says, "throughout all his kingdom, and he put it also in writing." He put it down on paper, saying, and here's that hope. It's arising. What's going on? I don't know, but, you know, Cyrus is changing things. I mean, he's bringing change. Well, what's happening? Well, the Lord hears the cries of his people. The Lord hears when you cry out, when you ask for forgiveness, when you go through 1 John 1:9. If you're caught up in sin, if you'll just confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He loves us. "And thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia," verse 23, "credible, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me," he says. It was actually on a cylinder that they discovered and they found. And I mean, hey, listen. Every time they put a shovel in the dirt, they dig up something more that discovers that the word of God is the word of God. And exactly what it says, it happened. And there's facts, proof. What do you need? I mean, tons of it. You go to the museums over there. It's incredible. "And the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me." Notice, he's crying out to God. He's saying, "Look what God has blessed me, allowed me to be the emperor, and he has charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem." This is something which is in Judah. "Who is there among you of all this people?" And there's his decree. "The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up." I love that. "Let him take it and do it." Over in Revelation 22, verse 17, very last chapter of the Bible, he says, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Let him go. Come on. You come. And take of what God hath. It's time that we occupy until he comes. It's time that, you know, we get serious with the Lord. The next book is the book of what? Ezra. The book of Ezra. See, God hasn't forgotten his people. Oh, you say, but this is the end. They're wiped out. It's over. No. It's amazing grace is what it is. Because God moved on this king. And when you go now towards Ezra and you start to read, it's the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. It's the rebuilding of the temple. And people are getting excited. Nehemiah, my gosh. It's grace. And God saw fit to build his temple. Each of us who have Christ in us are the temple of the living God. And he put us together as the church of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ. The church has come together. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. And then over in Lamentations, jot it down, 3:22. Lamentations 3:22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. And then in verse 32, he says, but though he causes grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. We serve a living, graceful, merciful God who loves us, who will forgive us if we'll just cry out to him. He's just saying, give it to me. Cast your cares upon me. Why? Because I care for you. I want to be with you during your trial and tribulation. I want to walk with you, talk with you. I want to comfort you. I want to strengthen you. I want you to rise up, man, not fall down. And if you do, I'll pick you up again and again and again, because I love you. So this is why I called this God's end is grace, because he's not done. You say, well, oh, it's too late. It's over. It's been too long. No. It's fresh. To him, it's right now. Don't give it. Give it up, and he'll take it.
Oh, the amazing grace of God. Trust you're encouraged by it. This is Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson. Today, we completed our look at 2 Chronicles, and how fitting that it would end on a high note of grace. So we've titled the message, God's End is Grace. Well, as we close things out, I'd like to mention that these studies are available online at sounddoctrineradio.org. You can also call and request a CD copy for a suggested donation of $5 at 800-353-7553. Again, we're here to serve you at 800-353-7553. We'd also like to pause at this time and say how thankful we are to the Lord for you, our listeners. We simply couldn't do what we do without the faithful support of God's people and God's provision. So thank you for standing with us. Donations can be made at sounddoctrineradio.org. And this month, we have picked out a new and very helpful booklet from Pastor Ed Taylor. It's called Face Your Fears. We all deal with fear from time to time, and maybe that's something you're dealing with right now. Well, God has given us this emotion for good reason. But there are those times when our fears become illogical, unreasonable, and they lead us to bad decisions that only make things worse. God is with you, and his perfect love casts out fear, and that is the emphasis of this booklet called Face Your Fears. Request a copy today at sounddoctrineradio.org or call us at 800-353-7553. Hey, by the way, would you like to do us a favor? Email us today while it's fresh on your mind. We want to know who's listening and where, and pray for you as well. Our email again is sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Again, sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Well, on we go to the book of Joshua tomorrow on Sound Doctrine. Join us for the exciting beginning of a new series, Wednesday. This program is listener-supported and brought to you by Calvary Chapel Downey.